that in the last chapter of his books, and he did that here in Romans 16. So verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Chantria, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So I'd like us to focus on that phrase in verse 1, a servant of the church. A servant of the church. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and the privilege that we have to assemble around Jesus Christ and open the word together. And now we pray you would use it in our hearts and lives. The Holy Spirit would apply it to each of our needs and our situations, Lord, and we would leave change through its power today. We are grateful for this opportunity. We love you. We pray Jesus Christ would be glorified and meet with us now. And in his name we ask these things. Amen. So Paul here is holding up first Phoebe and then also Aquila and Priscilla as examples of people that were not only helpful to him for his ministry, but they were also helpful to the local churches. And God, I believe, is looking for Christians who will be a servant of the church. Now, this is not in the sense of being like a slave and you've been hired and you have to take orders and so forth. No, this is God looking for Christians who say, I love God and I want to do what I can to use my gifts to serve the Lord. And part of that is getting involved in God's local church. And so in this passage here in these first four verses, we find where Paul gives some ways in which we can serve our church. And he says there in verse 1, first of all, by being a servant, by serving others. Phoebe here was held up as an example by Paul of someone who was willing to serve the church by serving others. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please, in verse 25, the Bible tells us that the local church, first of all, it was God's idea, but second of all, God established it so that we could be a blessing to one another. Now, we assemble primarily to hear God's word taught and preached, but we also assemble for many other reasons, don't we? To worship the Lord, to pray, but also to be a blessing to each other, to admonish and to exhort one another, and to serve one another. Notice 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. The same care one for another. And one of the reasons why we assemble is to have an opportunity to care for one another, because we're a family. Amen? And that's how it's supposed to work. So God wants us to be a servant of the church. If you go to Galatians 5, verse 13, we'll also see here where this is part of God's plan for his children, is that we serve one another. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now, we'll talk about this a lot more at family camp. But serving one another is actually doing things for one another, just like loving one another is. And that's what Paul is talking about here, that we have been given complete liberty in Jesus Christ. We're free from the law. We're free from bondage. But God says, now use that liberty to serve each other, to serve one another, not serve self. And then Philippians 4, another verse, please. Chapter 4, verse 3. Just one book over from Galatians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. The Bible says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So here in Philippians, Paul again at the last chapter, he's commending people who were helping him in his ministry. And did you notice he referred to them as yoke fellows and fellow laborers? People who were willing to take their talents, take their time, and serve one another. Other chapters in Colossians and other places, he uses the phrase fellow servant. But it's God's will that God's children use the gifts that God has given us and the time that we have to be a servant to one another. Back to our passage, Romans 16. He goes on to say in verse 2, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. God wants His children to work for Him. Part of being a servant of the church is being willing to roll up your sleeves and work. Now, we all know what that means, to work. We have our jobs and we go out and we work for someone else to get our paycheck. But that's not what this is talking about, is it? This is talking about working for God. And yes, we're laying up treasures in heaven, but that shouldn't be our motive. Our motive is because we love Him. And we're so grateful that He saved us from hell and gave us eternal life that we want to work for Him. Now, He talks many times in the Scriptures about the need to get busy and serve Him through our labors. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Serving God is work. And again, Paul uses phrases like fellow workers, fellow laborers. But God wants us to work. Now, teaching a Sunday school class, that's work. You got to study every week. You got to put up with children sometimes that can be a little bit rowdy. Passing out tracts, that's work. You know, we'd all rather do stuff that's more fun or more pleasing to the flesh, but God wants us to work for Him. You know, Jesus didn't ask us to pray for very many specific things, but one of the specific prayer requests He gave was that we should pray for laborers. He said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore for the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest." One of the things Jesus specifically told us to pray for was that He would send laborers. People that were willing to work. And these people that Paul are commending here in Romans 16 were willing to say, "I'm going to do whatever I can to further the work of God. I'm going to travel with Paul. I'm going to help the churches. I'm going to do whatever I can to make a difference for the cause of Christ. I'm going to be a servant and I'm going to be a worker." Also down in verse 2 of our passage, Romans 16, it says, "For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also." That word means helper. Down in verse 3, "Priscilla and Aquila are my helpers in Christ Jesus." He wants us to help one another. So not only does He want us to serve one another and be a laborer, but He also wants us to help one another. Do you think anybody in this room needs some help? I would say they do. God says, look out for those people and do what you can to help those who need help. We're told in Galatians 6:2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We're told in Romans 12, "Weep with them that weep, and rejoice with them that do rejoice." Now, this particular situation, Paul trusted her enough to actually take the book that he was writing to the Romans. Because if you look at the end of the Romans, it says, "Written to the Romans from Corinth and sent by Phoebe." That's pretty trustworthy, isn't it? I mean, you think about it. At this point, how many copies of Romans were there? It was one, the original. And Paul entrusted the original book of Romans. I mean, has anybody ever been blessed by the book of Romans? Billions have been. The original book of Romans, he gave it to Phoebe to hand carry to the church. Imagine that. I'd say he had a lot of trust in her. But God wants us to be a helper, to look for those who have needs and to help them where we can. Go, if you would, to 1 John in chapter 3, where God explains that God wants us to get involved in being a blessing and being a help to others. 1 John chapter 3, if you would. Verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let us not love in what we say. Let's love in what we do. That's what he says, isn't it? Help one another. That's what God is telling us to do. Hebrews chapter 10, please, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. As servants of the church, God wants us to serve, he wants us to labor, and he wants us to help one another. Notice Hebrews 10, verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Look at those words he uses. Consider one another, provoke one another, exhort one another. Do a study sometime just on that phrase, one another. You'll be amazed what you find. God left us here not for ourselves. He left us here for others, to make a difference in the lives of others. You look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. None of them are for your own personal benefit. All of them are so that you can be a blessing to others. Think about it. Even just the ones in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. God wants us to serve others. God wants us to help others. That is why we are here. And this is what God is looking for. Those who will be a helper. Those who will serve or work. And those who will get busy and make a difference in the lives of others. Go back to our passage of Romans 16. Look at this last verse here, verse 4. Who have for my life. So Paul here has gotten very personal. He says, these people for me personally have laid down their own necks. Now we know that Paul had been threatened many times and he had been beaten, he had been jailed, he had been chased out of different towns. He said, they laid down their own necks for me. Wow. That is the ultimate expression of love, isn't it? When you're willing to sacrifice for others. Not necessarily your life, although you never know it could come to that. But being willing to sacrifice on behalf of others. This is what God is looking for. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. In John 15, 13. He's, of course, referring to himself. He laid down his life for us. But God says he wants us to sacrifice on behalf of others. Go, if you would, to Philippians 2, where God brings it down to real life. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Look what he says. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. See, God knows how we're made. He knows how intrinsically selfish we are. That's why he tells us, I want you to love your neighbor as what? Yourself. Because we have no trouble loving ourselves, do we? We have no trouble spoiling ourselves. We have no trouble meeting our own needs. We have no trouble making ourselves happy. God says, I want you to love others like that. That's, according to Jesus, one of the greatest commandments in the Bible, from Deuteronomy chapter 6. That we are to love others as we love ourselves. This is what Philippians 2, 4, looking on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Down in verse 25 of Philippians 2, he says, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. He says, this Epaphroditus actually was a blessing to me personally. He ministered to my wants. He sacrificed for me. Paul is saying of Phoebe and of Aquila and Priscilla, they laid down their necks for me. And they didn't do it to get recognition. They did it because they loved God. And he that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Because we love God, we love God's children. And we want to do what we can for them. And we want to serve them. And we want to work for them. And we want to help them. But notice we also want to sacrifice. 1 John 3 again. And this time verse 16. I should have read it earlier, but it fits better for this point anyway. 1 John 3:16. Talking about sacrificing for others. Hereby perceive we the love of God. So God is saying we can actually see or understand the love of God because He laid down His life for us. So we don't have to question God's love. We just have to look at Calvary. Amen? That's love. Could there be a greater expression of love than someone giving their life for someone else? No. God says there isn't. And He gave His life for us. But then He goes on to say, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Sacrifice. We ought to give ourselves for others, to be a blessing to others. So God here is saying, this is what I'm after. I'm after those who will be a servant of the church. Someone who will get busy, and it's not talking about this building, is it? It's talking about God's people. People that will serve others, that will work for others, that will help others that have needs, and that will ultimately sacrifice for others. Say, oh, that's just asking too much. Is it really? You know, what did God give us? He rescued us from hell, gave us eternal life, a home in heaven, His presence, His word. He says, in return, I want you to serve me. He's not asking too much. That might feel like it because we're so selfish, but He didn't. So this is God's desire for every believer in Jesus Christ. He gave us gifts for a reason, so that we can put them to use. You know, the parable of the talents, where the one man hid it in the earth. He's the one that got rebuked, isn't he? He says, I wanted you to put that to use. And that's why he got punished. He said, I didn't give you that to just hide it. I gave it to you to put it to use. He didn't give us the gifts that he gave us and the abilities and the fruit of the Spirit. He doesn't give us all that so that we can just hoard it. He gave it to us so that we could put it to use and serve others. And so God here is encouraging us as His children to be a servant of the church, to be a worker, to be a helper, and ultimately to be willing to sacrifice our time, our energy, sometimes even our money, to be a blessing and a help to others that have needs. And you know, none of what we do in that realm goes unnoticed by God. And according to God, if our motive is doing it just for Him, He'll even reward us after we leave this earth. He doesn't have to, but He says He will. Again, that's not our motive, is it? If that's our motive, then we've already got our reward. But if we're doing it for God, God will even bless us in heaven for it when we get to the judgment seat of Christ. So He's looking for Christians who will say, yes, Lord, I will be a servant. When Jesus came to earth, did He come the first time? Did He come to say, I'm the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I want everyone to bow down to me? No. The first time Christ came, the Bible says He came as a servant and to give His life a ransom for many. He came to be an example of servanthood, of being a minister to others. He didn't come to lord over others, even though He could have because of who He was, but He didn't. He says, I'm going to be an example. And then He took His disciples and He said, we need to have one last meal together. And so they had that last supper, all people often call it, which was the first Lord's Supper. They met in that upper room. And before they even talked about anything, the very first thing that Jesus did was wash their feet. In John chapter 13. John 13 to John 17 was Jesus' time with His disciples. First thing He did was wash their feet. before he started talking about how we need to love one another, before he started talking about our mansions in heaven, started talking about the coming Holy Spirit, first thing he did was wash their feet. You know what he said? He said, I did this to be an example. An example. I want you to follow my example. I want you to learn to be a servant. And this is what God wants from each of us, to be a servant of the church. Now, this is irrelevant if you're not born again, of course. It's not who the message was tailored for, but Jesus died and rose again that we might have eternal life, that we might be rescued from our sins. He is the Savior, so he needs to save you from your sins. And I hope that everyone in this room can say, I am born again. I have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ from my sins, and I know I'm going to heaven. If you do know those things, then this is for you. God wants you to be a servant of the church. Let's pray.